Father. Father God, we praise you tonight. Come on, everybody, let's just glorify him. Father, we magnify you. We praise you. Father, you're worthy of all praise and honor and glory. Father, we're glad to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Father, we gather in the name of Jesus. So, Lord, we thank you. You're in the midst with us. Your help, your supply is here. Father, we will not go without. And, Father, you will provide. You will protect. Father, we thank you. You restore our lives. And, Father, you are so good and faithful. We praise you tonight. Father, we submit to you tonight. Father, we just do the will of God, and we praise you, we glorify you, and Father, we just say we're glad to be here. Father, we just thank you, we praise your holy name. Father, we're going to receive your word with joy here tonight. Father God, we are going to rejoice in your word. We thank you for the help of the Holy Ghost. Father, we thank you for revelation. Father, we thank you for a changed life. Father, we'll be doers of the word, and we'll be blessed in all of our deeds. And Father, we say that 2019 is a year for growing closer to the Father. And Lord God, we thank you. We'll be closer to you than ever before. Our trials will be smaller than ever before. And Father, we just give you all the praise. We give you all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted, amen. Hey, before you're seated tonight, find somebody, let them know you're glad to see them here. Well, glory to God. Yeah, it's good to be in the house of the Lord here tonight. Yeah, it's good to be in church. You know, I tell you what, not because it's the beginning of a new year, but because this is the best place to be no matter when it is. Amen. To be gathered in the house of the Lord where the Word of God is taught, I'll tell you what, it'll change your life. Amen. You know, I was thinking about that today. There's three basic things, back in 2003, when I got saved, you know, when I got into church and started, you know, growing with the things of the Lord, you know, there was three basic things that I did, you know, that changed my life and, you know, changed it pretty quickly. You know, sometimes people are waiting for a decade before God, you know, a decade or two before God makes a difference in their life. He can make a difference a lot sooner than that. You know, I truly believe that if you'll give your heart to the Lord, if you'll submit to His Word, if you'll be a student of the Word of God, you'll look back after a year and you will not recognize your life. Amen. You know, but there was, you know, just some, you know, simple things that I did. Number one, I got into church and I got under a Bible teaching pastor. Amen. And I just had this rule for myself that when my church was open, when there was a service going on, I was there. You know, and when I showed up with a notebook. I showed up, you know, I had gone to college. Of course, I was a school teacher. But, you know, I gave effort, you know, and we've all been to school at some point in our life. You know, we know that how to take notes and how to learn and how to study and things like that. If I was going to give that kind of effort towards college, you know, or, you know, even high school, I guess I gave a little effort, you know, but I was going to at least do that for the things of the Lord, you know, that take what I heard very seriously, you know, write it down, go back to it. The second thing I did is I studied the Bible. You know, I just purposely, I got, you know, some study Bibles. I did a lot of, you know, just study on my own, you know, amen. I was glad I did. You know, and the third thing, you know, that changed my life, of course, this was a little bit after that. I got filled with the Holy Ghost, amen, and prayed. Glory to God. You know, if you will do those three things, if you will be in church when your church is open, of course, you know, take what you hear very seriously, submit yourself to the Word of God, study the Word, take time to pray in your own understanding and in the Holy Ghost, your life will be unnoticeable in a very short time. If Christians would just do those three simple things, their life would not be chaos. It would not be filled with panic. You know, it would not, you know, be destroyed all the time and desperate all the time. Amen. Why? Because you'd walk in answers. Why? You'd have the answers, you know, right when you needed them. Amen. You know, praise the Lord. Of course, you know, I said it while we were praying. In 2019, of course, we know it's a year for growing closer to the Father. Amen? And when you get closer to the Father, I'll tell you what, your problems get smaller. That doesn't mean you don't face trials. That doesn't mean you don't go through difficult times. But I tell you what happens as you get, you know, closer to somebody, right? Or you get closer to something, it gets larger in your view, right? Amen. You ever seen something from a distance and, you know, it's just a very small thing? Obviously, as you move closer, that will appear larger. Well, I tell you what, as you move closer to God, He will appear larger and your trials will appear much, much smaller. You know, Christians allow their lives to be so dominated with trials, it seems to just consume them. You know, that's because, honestly, they're not close to the Father sometimes when, when our view is just on our trial. I don't mean, you know, I don't mean you can't be close to God and not go through things. You know, we know that you do. We know that that can happen. But we understand the closer you are to God, the smaller those trials are going to be. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, turn with me in your Bibles tonight. Let's go back over there to John 7:37, the verse. Yeah, not the airplane. Glory to God. All right, I wasn't planning on starting here. But just for means of review, of course, over the last several weeks, I've been teaching a series of messages on the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the importance of being filled with the Spirit the Bible way. And if you're here and you're newer and, you know, you hear this statement, don't let it trouble you. Of course, I cannot go through, 4 weeks of review all at once. But we see this in the Word, that salvation is a completely different experience than the baptism of the Spirit. You know, I was taught, in the churches I grew up in, when you get saved, that's when you get all the Holy Spirit you're ever going to get. Well, we see in the Scripture that's clearly not true. I've also heard people say, well, baptism in water is the same as the baptism of the Spirit. Well, we saw in the Scriptures that isn't true. John the Baptist said in Matthew 3:11, he says, I indeed baptize you with water under repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than me, whose shoes I'm not fit to carry. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So clearly, water baptism and spirit baptism are two different things. Paul said this over in Acts 19:2. He said this to those that he thought were believers. He said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? All right, so clearly believing upon Christ and then receiving the baptism of the Spirit are two separate things. When Paul realized what was going on, remember, they were part of John the Baptist's, ministry. They had received his ministry, water baptism for repentance. And then Paul said, well, actually, you're supposed to believe on Christ. And so they did. And then after that, Paul laid his hands upon them. Acts 19:6, they were filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke in tongues and prophesied, right? We saw Acts 10:46. Peter knew that they were filled with the Holy Ghost because he heard them speak with tongues and magnify God, right? Acts 2:4, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gives them utterance. Of course, over the last couple of services, we've given multiple invitations for people to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Between Jamestown and our Erie services, we've seen 25 people roughly over the last a couple of weeks that have been filled with the Holy Ghost, received that experience of speaking in other tongues. And so tonight, we're going to call this message Signs, Wonders, and Mysteries. Signs, Wonders, and Mysteries, all right? And of course, many Christians, they want to see God's supernatural power in motion for their behalf, right? They want to see God's supernatural power of healing. They want supernatural provision. They want supernatural protection. They want supernatural child rearing. They want supernatural marriage restoration. You know, they want the supernatural of God to move in their life. But yet, so many Christians, if not most Christians, neglect the number one sign and wonder that God has given to us all to participate in if we so choose to do so, and that is speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gives us utterance. Amen. Praise the Lord. It is the most abundant and available sign and wonder that is provided for all of God's people if they desire. Amen. And that is speaking in other tongues. Now, if you're here and you say, Pastor, I don't know. Well, just hold on. We're going to, walk you through the Scripture. We're going to, get a little more specific as we move forward here. I do believe that we're getting close to the end of this series of messages. All right? And so I know as I look out, I see most people here have received that experience. All right? And so a lot of what we're going to talk about tonight is going to focus on the benefit of it. Listen, if this is a season for growing closer to the Father, having, you know, that experience of being filled with the Holy Ghost and speaking in other tongues, that's not just a one-time thing. All right? You know, and that's where we're at over here in John 7:37. All right? The verse, not the airplane. And here, Jesus was at the Feast of Tabernacles. Remember what he was doing there? Remember, this is that last great day of the feast. It is called the Day of Assembly. It was where a priest would go over and he would fill a golden glass out of a golden cup out of the pool of Siloam. He would then march it to the altar that sat next to the temple of God. He would pour it upon the altar, and Israel would rejoice as it represented the remission of their sins, okay? And there was thousands of people there, probably tens of thousands of people there. And that's where we pick up the story when Jesus gets up and makes a spectacle of himself. You know, think of the boldness that it took for him to do this in the midst of this very, you know, sacred happening. It says in the last day, that great day of the feast, that's the Feast of Tabernacles. All right, this is the eighth day, the Day of Assembly. Everyone's there. Jesus stood and shouted. The word cried there doesn't mean tears. It means he shouted with a loud voice, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." And of course, no doubt, he's comparing himself to that cup of water that's being poured out. All right? You know, and these people were all shouting and clapping and, you know, all excited about that glass of water. But look what Jesus says. He says, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." Verse 38, he says, "And as the scripture has said, he that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." And we talked about that last Wednesday night. Do you remember? We went to Genesis chapter 2 and we saw the river of life. We went to Ezekiel chapter 47 and we saw the river of life. We went to Revelation chapter 22. We saw the river of life in the eternal throne room of God, right? And we know wherever the river of life goes, healing goes. Remember the river of life, it fed those trees on the side of the river in Ezekiel's vision, remember? That the fruit was new every month on those trees. There was enough to feed everybody. Everywhere those waters went, it healed the waters. Remember, the leaves were for the medicine or the healing of the nations. All right, and it said, because these waters of life go there. Remember that in Ezekiel chapter 47, right around the eighth verse? Remember, it says, because these waters of life go there, there's healing and fruit and provision, right? In the same way, now Jesus is now standing up, and if you were a Jew in the first century here, you know, or about near the beginning of the first century, when Jesus stands up, and when you hear him say, out of your belly or out of your spirit will flow rivers of life. If you were a Jew, you would understand what that image was about. What Jesus, that language that he was using, it wasn't just for an illustration. It was a biblical term that all the Pharisees would have known and understand. All right, when he said rivers of living water, they would have instantly thought back to the Old Testament, right? In Genesis and Ezekiel, and then, of course, we know later on, Revelation, they would have understood the river of life. All right, that's what Jesus was saying. Out of your spirit is going to flow a river of life. Glory to God. And so many people were like, what is this man talking about? He has the gall to stand up. When that priest is carrying that golden cup over to the altar and he says, out of your spirit, out of your belly is going to flow rivers of water. You know, Jesus was saying, you know, don't get so excited about that cup of water because out of your spirit is going to be a river. Amen. And what was he talking about? The Bible answers it for us in verse 39. Of course, they were all confused there that day, but the scripture explains it. But this Jesus spoke of the Holy Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. All right? Didn't say would receive. If it said would, it would mean it would be automatic. Should means that it puts responsibility on the believer to receive it. That's why Paul said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? But it says, this spoke Jesus of the Holy Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. But in the days that we live in, has Jesus been glorified? Has the Holy Ghost been given? Yep. So now what should we look for? Those that believe on Him, out of their belly shall flow rivers of living water. Well, we then traced and we studied that, didn't we? We went through Luke 24:49. We went to Mark 16, verses, 17 and 18. My goodness, we went to Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 19. And we saw in the scripture when everyone, in the Bible that received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which Jesus called the promise of the Father, which He called power from on high. Remember what He said in Acts 1:8? He said, "But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost comes on you. And you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth." Here we stand in the uttermost parts of the earth. The same power of Acts chapter 2 is the same power that is alive on this earth today. It's the same power we need today. All right? And so we started studying the scripture and we saw what this river of life was that proceeds out of the spirit of man on those that will believe in this experience. All right? The river sounds like speaking in tongues. We see over and over. Oh, my goodness. I better quote some verses, right? 1 Corinthians 14:14, Paul said, "For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit by the Holy Spirit within me prays." Glory to God, right? Sounds like Jude verse 20. "But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost," right? 1 Corinthians 14:2, "He that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not to men but to God, for no man understands him. Howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mysteries or hidden truths," and so on. And so we went through verse after verse, and we see this river of life is this prayer that is initiated by the Holy Spirit out of your spirit and proceeds out of your mouth, and it is a divine holy language of God. Amen. And so we've been doing all this study, and so now we're going to take it one step further here tonight. Go with me to 1 Corinthians 14, and then hold your place there, 1 Corinthians 14, and then bring up Isaiah, back in the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 28, verse 11 again. All right, and we're talking about signs, wonders, and mysteries. Say, "Oh, Pastor, are you fixing to get weird on us here tonight?" Nope. I'm fixing to teach you the word. All right? And if you reject it, I'm not the weird one. You are. Because what's weird is to see the scripture, see what God has for you, and still refuse it. That's weird to me. Praise the Lord. People say, "I just can't stand that speaking in tongues business." That's just what the river sounds like. That's just what the river sounds like. You know, don't get mad just because you don't like the sound of the river. But Jesus called it power from on high. Amen. He called it the promise of the Father. Praise the Lord. And so I tell you to go over there to Isaiah 28 and verse 11. Let's read that. We've read it over the last several weeks. This is the Old Testament prophecy. There's been some that have said, "I don't know if Isaiah was really talking about speaking in tongues." Well, we'll answer that right now for you. All right. And the doubters, if they're not here, that's not my fault. All right. Isaiah 28 in verse 11. All right. Look what God says. He says, "For with stammering lips and another tongue will God speak to this people, to whom he said, this, the stammering lip and other tongues, is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. This is the refreshing, yet they would not hear." Or they would not accept it. How many of you know there's many Christians, if not most today, that will not accept this experience of being filled with the Spirit and speaking in other tongues? Every time they refuse it, this prophecy is being fulfilled. All right? Do you see that? All right, but notice what he called it in verse 11. He said, "This is the refreshing." All right? "This is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. This is the refreshing, yet people would not hear it or accept it." All right? How many of you know God will not be blamed? All right? It will not be God's fault if people just hear it and they don't like it and they reject it. God will still say, "I'm still in it. Just because your flesh hates it doesn't mean I'm not in it. I believe there is a veil over the eyes of many Christians today, just like the Jews could not recognize the Messiah that they've been talking about for thousands of years. Modern day Christians who try to stick to the word, they don't even recognize the Holy Ghost who wrote every word in the Bible. We don't want to do that, all right? We don't want to fail to receive them, all right? So notice this, people have said, Pastor, I don't know if Isaiah is really talking about speaking in tongues like, you know, we know it today. Well, I'm glad they raised that question, because now hold your place there. Go to 1 Corinthians 14, which is one of the biggest chapters on the subject of speaking in tongues. Watch what Paul the Apostle does when he's teaching on it. Go to 1 Corinthians 14:21. Right? Watch this. Remember, God prophesied 700 and about 50 years before through Isaiah that this experience would come to the earth and that people would reject it. Now Paul is going to quote the same verse in teaching of tongues. It's not my idea that Isaiah was speaking about tongues. It's the Bible's idea that he was speaking about tongues. Watch this. Paul says this, in the law or the Old Testament, it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. So now Paul used that verse in Isaiah to teach on speaking in tongues, okay? Praise the Lord. All right. And so now this is, remember, this is the rest. This is the refreshing. Amen. But people would reject it. Look what Paul says in verse 22. He says, wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serves not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. Verse 23, he says, if therefore the whole church be come together into one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that you are mad or crazy? All right, so do you see the parameters that Paul is placing on speaking in tongues in public? He said, if you just give the general command and just instruct everyone to start speaking in tongues, well, you'll have a real spiritual show, but no one will get anything out of it. And if there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, they'll think you're crazy. So Paul was saying in a public church service, tongues does not edify the church. It's meant for edifying the individual, mostly in private. All right, and so we may talk about this a little bit, but I want to stop on verse 23 here. We need to get this. Notice what Paul says. He says, if the whole church is speaking in tongues and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, they will think you're crazy. All right? I remember when I was in that situation. I remember coming into a church and hearing tongues, and I was, you know, saved at the time, and I thought it was nuts. Okay? Now, what was I? I wasn't an unbeliever, but I was unlearned. Do you see the different kinds of people that exist when it comes to this experience of speaking in tongues? All right? There are unlearned people. That means they're saved, they believe in Christ, they're born again, but they're not learned on this topic of being baptized in the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues. That would make them unlearned or unbelievers. An unbeliever is somebody that doesn't believe in Christ at all right? And so, of course, they're not going to understand it. And so, by implication, there's a third kind of person that hopefully most of us are here tonight, right? The learned believer. All right, do we have any learned believers here tonight? You're not questioning this experience. What does it mean to be learned? You've studied this topic. You've studied this topic. You've learned about it. And then, of course, once you see it in the Word, you have faith to receive it. All right? Okay, so we got to ask ourselves, which one are we? Are we an unlearned person when it comes to speaking in tongues? It doesn't mean you're an unbeliever, All right, you believe in Christ, you're saved, you're going to heaven, but maybe you're just not taught in this, okay? Or you're an unbeliever, by which, you know, you're not saved at all, and of course we would need to get you saved, right? Or by implication, you're a learned believer, all right? And so we all got to ask ourselves which one. Now go up there to verse 22. Now, we're going to go through this. These verses, you know, really trip some people up. But in these verses, we get a lot of answers, and it's very exciting. Amen. Look what the Bible says what tongues is for. Now, we've studied a lot up until then, and we'll remind you of some of it here in just a little bit. But he says, wherefore, tongues are for a sign. Everyone say sign. All right. That word sign there also means sign, wonder, or mystery. All right. It's a sign, wonder, and a mystery. Notice the rest of it, and this is where people get confused. Not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. Okay, in this verse, in verse 22, those that believe not are a couple of different kinds of folks. Someone that's not a believer, of course, is someone that doesn't believe in Christ. But in this verse, the non-believer is also a reference to those that don't believe in speaking in tongues. All right? The unbeliever in this verse is twofold. Either they're not born again or they are born again and they just don't believe in speaking in tongues. All right? Notice, tongues are for a sign, a wonder, and a mystery to those that don't believe. All right? But to them that believe not, all right? But prophesying serves not for them which believe not, but for them which believe. We're going to focus on the tongues part. Tongues are for a sign, a mystery, and a wonder. A sign for unbelievers, not just those who don't believe in Christ, but those who don't believe in the experience of speaking in other tongues. So notice this. There is such thing as unbelieving believers. Do you see that in the Bible? Now, they're believers in the sense that they're saved. They're believers in the sense that they have confessed Christ, but they're unbelievers in other topics of the Word of God. Do you remember when you were an unbeliever, an unbelieving believer about something in the Bible? Let's take some of the biggest ones that Christians are unbelieving believers. How about the promise of healing in the Bible? There's a lot. Does God want to heal your body? Yes, he does. Is it the will of God to heal? Yes, it is. But I remember I grew up in a denomination that said it's not God's will to heal everybody. But then I saw the scripture over and over. How about, I mean, just quote a couple, right? Psalm 103, verse 2, you know, it says, and forget not all of his benefits. But, you know, it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all and all that's within me. Of course, I'm getting ahead of my quota. Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that's within me. Bless his holy name. Forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. Amen. Glory to God. And so, of course, we could quote, you know, many different healing verses. You know, one of my favorites is Psalm 107, verse 20. Is he sent his word and healed them. How about Proverbs 4:22? His words are life to those that find it and health to all their flesh. All right. God's word is a healing word. Amen. And so we could go and quote many healing verses. But I remember growing up in a denomination that believed in Christ, believed in getting saved, but did not believe in healing. So what were they? They were unbelieving believers. They believed in Christ, but they were unbelieving in certain topics of the Bible. How about prosperity? Is there a lot of unbelieving believers with prosperity? They believe God wants to save them, but they don't believe that God wants to prosper them, right? But we know the Bible says a lot more than that, right? I mean, we could go Proverbs 10:22, you know, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he adds no sorrow with it, right? Oh, my goodness. You know, Deuteronomy 8:18, it is the Lord who gives you power to get wealth. that he may establish his covenant with you as he did with your forefathers. And on and on and on and on it goes, where God says, he, you know, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I mean, we could just go on with verse after verse of how God wants to fulfill and provide in our life. When people say that God prefers them poor, they don't know God. I'm not saying you could be saved. I mean, you could believe in Christ, but that is an unbelieving believer, that their faith is not fulfilled in that area of the word, all right? And so now notice in the scripture, there can be unbelieving believers when it comes to the experience of being baptized in the Holy Ghost and speaking in other tongues. Now, what does God want for any kind of unbeliever? He wants them to become believers, all right? And so that's why I teach so extensively. This is why we give altar calls for people to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Because God does not want them to stay unbelieving believers. He wants them to know his word on healing. He wants them to know his word on prosperity. He wants them to know his word on speaking in tongues. Amen. And of course, like we said, there's been, you know, dozens of people, you know, recently that became believing believers. Again, we went down there, we looked at verse 23. There's unbelievers, all right, and there's unbelieving believers or unlearned, or there's learned believers. I want to be learned in all the Word of God. Praise the Lord. I believe God's my healer. He is my first, he's my savior, then he's my healer, then he's my provider, then he's my protector, then he's our advocate, he's our standby, he's our helper. Amen. Whatever you believe God to be, that's what he is. He can't go beyond what you don't believe what he is. Some people, you know, they believe that he's savior and they're going to heaven, but their lives gets devoured because they don't believe the rest of God's word. Okay? So, wherefore tongues are a mystery, a sign, and a wonder, not for the believers, but to them that don't believe. Isn't that amazing? What does that mean? So, like I said, there's such thing as unbelieving believers, okay? It's not just with tongues, but there are unbelieving believers in all different categories in the word, all right? And so they're unbelievers in tongues, praise the Lord. They're unlearned in this area. Now, tongues is a mystery to them, meaning that they do not understand it or they do not get it. All right? But notice this. Even though they don't get it, God is still in it. Here is the sign to them. God is speaking. God is moving in their midst, but they don't get it or they don't receive it. Meanwhile, God was right there providing answers that they could not get or understand. Oh, my goodness. Praise the Lord. It's a sign and a wonder to them, meaning God is in it. God wanted them to have it. He didn't want them to stay unlearned. All right? Think about this. God is doing everything he can for us to get these different, you know, aspects of his word. All right? Think about it. There's people that are going without their answers because they reject speaking in tongues. They reject what it is, but yet it was the very answer that they were looking for. They wanted the supernatural. They wanted God to show up, but they wanted to reject the first and most abundant available sign and wonder in their life. Like I said, God will not be blamed. He will not be mocked. There's going to be people that 'll stand before God and say, "Where were you when I was going through this? Where was my answer when, you know, my marriage was struggling? Where was my answer when my business was failing? Where was my answer, you know, for raising my kids? Where was that healing in my body? Where was it?" He's going to say, "This is the rest wherewith you caused the weary to rest. This was the refreshing, but you did not accept it." But God, where were your signs and wonders? He said, "I couldn't move any more signs and wonders into your life until you first received the most abundant and simplest sign and wonder that can be available to your life." Amen. Praise the Lord. They could have learned. Now notice this. What did the Bible, go down to verse 23, What does it call believers who don't know or understand about this subject? He calls them unlearned. Notice he says unlearned, meaning they can learn. You can learn. You can get it. You don't have to stay an unlearned believer about speaking in tongues. All right? Because when you become learned in this area, you're going to get the benefits of it that I'm about to start talking about. Praise the Lord. It's a mystery and sign. See, so many people, they've taken that verse and they think, well, it's a sign for unbelievers. And so that means you must be able to just go up to an unbeliever and speak in tongues to them, and they'll see it as a sign for them to get saved. Is that what you do? No. What if you go up to a sinner on the street and just start speaking in tongues to them? They're going to think it's a sign, all right. They're going to think of a sign to get away from you, all right, because people have misunderstood that verse. It's a wonder or it's a mystery because they don't get it. They don't understand it, but God is still in it. Just like the Pharisees, when they looked at Jesus, they saw a carpenter. But when God looked at Jesus, he saw the Son of God, the Savior of the world. Amen. In the same way, Christians today, they're looking at tongues and they think it's foolishness. And God said, no, that's what I call the rest. That's what I call refreshing. That's what I say will build your life. It'll build your faith. Glory to God. It was a sign and wonder, meaning you didn't understand it, but you could have learned. If you were an unbelieving believer in that area of life, that does not get you off the hook. Listen, we all will suffer what we don't know in the Word of God. We know Hosea 4:6. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. What you don't know, where you are unlearned in the Word, can and will hurt your life. If you don't know what God said about healing, how are you going to receive it from Him? If you don't know what God said about prosperity, how are you going to receive it from Him? You know, and so many Christians are going to stand before God and they're going to say, where was my answer? He said, I had it for you. Here it was. But remember when you said it was foolish? Remember when you didn't like the sound of it? Remember when you thought those Christians that did that were weird and crazy? It wasn't weirdness. It wasn't craziness. It was called rivers of living water. It wasn't weird. It was called rest. It was called refreshing. Amen. But just because you rejected it, notice this. God will not be blamed by what we don't know. Here we go. So, well, Pastor, I don't believe in healing, or I don't know anything about it, you know, so therefore God's going to have to, you know, just do it for me anyway. No, it doesn't work like that. You're not going to be able to step before God and say, you should have done this. He's going to say, but did you know that? You know, did you know that? Well, Lord, you didn't provide for me when this, but did you know that? Well, Lord, I needed this and that. I needed answers for my future. I needed to get solutions to these things. But did you know that praying in other tongues brings those answers to you? Do you know that? You know, and so many people will try to blame God, and God said, no, I had an answer for it. Just because you were unlearned wasn't my fault. God will not ever, you know, He will never, never say, oh, you didn't know, that's all right. I'll just do it for you anyway. You can only go as far as you know. Amen. All right? Praise the Lord. Okay? And so it's a sign and wonder. It's a mystery. Meaning that people that are unlearned or don't believe in it, they don't get it, but God's in it. What they might accuse of being foolish and weird, it was God the whole time. Paul said, listen, Isaiah prophesied about it, and I'm here to tell you. All right? Praise the Lord. All right, go to 1 Corinthians 14:1. Let's start back here at the beginning of the chapter. We're going to start going through some things. And now we're going to start talking about what tongues does, you know, specifically the benefits of it as we go through the scriptures. And if you're here and you have received this experience, listen, don't let those rivers run dry. Don't just, you know, well, I got filled and I remember speaking in tongues once or twice, but now I'm giving up. Well, no, the Bible says, Jude verse 20, but you, beloved, building up your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, right? You're going to see what praying in the Holy Ghost is here in just a moment. But verse 1 says, Paul says, follow after charity. That word charity means love. He says, desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. Wow. Yeah. We should have open mic night. Just let everybody prophesy. You know, there's places that do that. They think that, of course, later verses, it talks about everyone prophesying. But a lot of times what people misunderstand is the definition of what prophecy is. All right? To prophesy here is not to tell the future. It is not to stand up and say, thus saith the Lord, or to go to everybody in the seats and give out a private message for everybody. That's not what this word prophecy means. This word prophecy means to speak with inspiration in a known language. How many of you know tonight I'm speaking inspiration in a known language? Have you noticed yet that I have not just stood here and just spoke a message in tongues to you tonight? Why is that? Because we're going to see in the scripture. Go to verse 2. All right, he says, for he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands him, howbeit in the spirit he speaks mysteries, signs, wonders, mysteries. Right? Amen. Now, before we go to verse 2 here, before we start digging into that, let's talk about the first thing that we know that tongues will do for you. We saw it over there in the prophecy of Isaiah, Isaiah 28, 11 and 12, that he said, this is the rest. Tongues will produce rest in your life. Amen. Now let me give you the Bible definition of rest. It means to change a person's nature from being nervous, worrying, and panicking into one of faith, rest, and belief. So you're no longer a person that's nervous all the time. No longer a person that's worried all the time. You've lost that nature of panicking all the time. You're no longer a worry wart, but you're somebody of faith and stability. Amen. Why? The Bible says, you know, I keep quoting it, Jude verse 20, but you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Where did it say in verse 2, when you're praying in tongues, notice what he called it, howbeit in the Spirit. He's talking about speaking or praying in the Spirit. Just like what Jude said. He said, praying in the Holy Ghost will build your most holy faith. What is holy faith to God? You're not panicked. You're not worried. Remember, we looked at the definition over there in Hebrews chapter 4. It means you believe the works were done before the foundations of the earth. Glory to God. See, when you're in rest, you're saying, it's well. Oh, but Pastor, this is going on. It'll be fine. But Pastor, all this is crashing down around me. You'll be just fine. Amen. You know, you'll just quote, you know, Luke 10:19. We say it all the time around here. Behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. By any means. Not by financial means, not by sickness and disease, not by worry and depression and anxiety, not financial collapse, not business, not death in the family, not anything. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. See, that's when you've entered into the rest of faith. When you look at the word and say, this was done before the foundation of the earth. I won't be worried. I've lost my nature of panic. I've lost my tendency to run around like trying to be an ambulance or a fire truck for everybody. Come on now, see, we need to get into rest. Rest is more than just having a day off. Thank God for a day off. Thank God for hanging out and not having to go to work and all that. But the rest of God is when you aren't moved. You become a person of stability. See, isn't it interesting? The thing that people say will make you weird is what God says will make you stable. There are that weird tongue-talking church, but yet I look out and I see a group of people that are some of the most stable, not worried, not moved, not shaken people in the whole earth. You know? Oh my goodness. You know? So what they call, well, you know, they'll say, oh, that'll make you a fanatic. That'll make you weird. That'll make you emotional and filled with, you know, fanaticism and, you know, all that stuff. No, what the Bible says. It'll build up your most holy faith. This is the rest wherewith you shall cause the weary to rest. Why does it say the weary to rest? Because nothing will tire you out more than being worried all the time. Nothing will rob your rest more than you worrying and panicking. Oh my goodness, I was talking to someone the other day. Something came up. It was honestly very, very simple. All right, and it's nobody that's here tonight. Very simple. And this person on the other side of the phone, they're all, I mean, it is so simple. I don't want to, you know, give out, you know, the information in case they're watching my live stream here today. But, you know, it was something simple. And literally they started saying on the other line, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? And I just sat there. I literally was on the phone. I propped my arm like, all right, let's see how far. Let's see how long they'll go before all of a sudden they'll realize, you know, until they realize, well, what am I going to do? And I just sat there and just stayed quiet. What am I going to do? Oh, this can't be happening. No, this can't happen. And I'm thinking, what a frustrating, tiring existence where something so simple can shake you to the core. You know why? Because there's no rest of faith there. There is no rest. It is just pure panic. It was something so simple. Put it this way. An off-the-counter cleaning agent from your local hardware store fixed the problem. That's what we're talking about. That simple. Go buy a gallon of this stuff. Okay, I'll try that. Oh, what am I going to do? Oh, what am I going to do? I'm thinking, if that's all it takes, see, what you just told the devil is that's all it took. That's all it takes to shake you to the core to start saying, what am I going to do? How am I going to, oh my God. Oh, see, rest is the opposite of that. Rest is when you're not a person of panic and worry. You know, you could about just say anything to you and you're not moved. You're not moved. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. See, this rest makes you a more stable person. All right, here's the second thing that tongues will do. Remember over there in Isaiah 28, 11, and 12, he says also, this is the refreshing. So it's rest, and secondly, it's refreshing. Now, what refreshing is, you know, more than what we think. We think, well, it's refreshing to go swimming on a hot day, or it's refreshing to have a cold, you know, drink when you're hot and, you know, thirsty. Yeah, those things are refreshing, but I'm telling you, this refreshing does way more than that, all right? This refreshing means that it refreshes your spirit. It recharges someone spiritually. When this is your refreshing, it is the go-to method when you need to stir yourself up spiritually. Amen. Speaking and praying in tongues is what you do when you've been spiritually lazy and you need to catch up. Praying in tongues will catch you up. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. It's the answer to depression and anxiety. Praying in tongues will fill the space that depression and anxiety comes to fill. Praise the Lord. It is refreshing. You can't be depressed and refreshed at the same time. Refreshing replaces depressing. There are so many of God's people, they're more depressed than they are refreshed. Oh, here they are, manic and depressed and downright hating life, but they think tongues is weird. He said, this is the refreshing. You know, and you know what's weird? And I know it. I've known people that have lived that way, and I've been there in my life where you get so much to a point, not ever since I got filled with the Holy Ghost, I haven't been there. But in my old life before Jesus, you know, people will go in, they'll get so depressed, they'll be in bed all day long. They'll be sitting there with curtains drawn, laying in the dark, getting up only to go to the bathroom, hardly eating anything, so depressed, filled with hopelessness and despair. That's weird. That's not living. There is no life in that at all. But see, when the rivers of living water start to proceed, wherever those waters go, it heals. Whatever it touches, it restores. And when you're a person praying in the Holy Ghost, you're filled on your most holy faith, there's no room for depression. I'm tempted to be depressed all the time. but I never am. I'm tempted all the time, but never am. Why? Because that void has been filled with something else. Amen. It brings rest. It brings refreshing. It makes you stable. Get away the worry and the depressive nature and all that stuff. Glory to God. But people say, oh no, that tongues is weird. No, it's not weird when it, you know, makes you a person of rest and it refreshes your life. It stirs you up. It builds you up. Amen. Right? And of course, we're here in verse 2. He that speaks an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but to God. So when was talking to God ever wrong? When did talking to God never give you rest and refreshing? It can, of course, only produce rest and refreshing. He that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not to men, but unto God. You mean I get to talk to people less and talk to God more? Yes! Woo! Say, what kind of pastor are you? I'm kidding. Kind of. A little bit. Mostly. But I mean, I will say this. There's a lot of things. You could just talk somebody around the mountain 100,000 times. It'll never solve it. But if they'd get down and pray in the Holy Ghost for a half hour, it would get the job done. I could just sit there and talk you around the same old mountain here. Oh, let's talk about it again. Let's talk about it. Or go pray in the Spirit. God could do way more with a half hour than you could ever do. But unto God, for no man understands him, howbeit in the Holy Spirit he speaks mysteries. Can you bring this up in the Amplified Bible? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. The Amplified Bible says, it's coming. It's on its way. We're finding it. They're panicking. No, they've lost that nature, remember? Praise that Lord. For he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God, for no man understands him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. Boy, is it that similar? Praise the Lord. Is that the Amplified Bible? That sure looks like the King James. That's not the Amplified. That's not the right Amplified. Praise the Lord. Keep trying up there. Who's got the Amplified? Pastor Brad, you got it handy? Praise the Lord. Go ahead, shout it out for us. Oh, is that it? Nope, that's not it. I don't know why it says amp. That is not the Amplified Bible, is it?
One who speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not to men, but to God, for no one understands.
Answer catches his meaning.
Because the Holy Spirit, he utters
secret truths and hidden things not obvious to the understanding. Right when you started reading, Pastor Brad, it came up. Bang, boom. But I was polite. I didn't want to interrupt Pastor Brad. Because he was belting that out, and we were getting it. Praise the Lord. But he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not to men but to God. For no one understands or catches his meaning, because in the Holy Spirit he utters secret truths. Things that are secret to you, not to God. You're praying out secrets. Amen. Turning secrets into revelations. Unknown things into known things. Things that are not obvious to the understanding. Notice there's things that your mind will never get. Will never receive from God. But what if you don't ever pray in the Spirit? There's things that'll be missed. Things that you'll go without. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, so here's the third benefit. You're praying out mysteries. Do you have any mysteries in your life? Yes, you do. Oh, yes. So I thought a mystery was just a good book or a good movie or something. No. Things that you don't know. Things that are unknown to your life but are still the will of God. What does that mean? Things for you to discover. You could say it like this. It's like praying in tongues is a method of discovery. It's how you search. It is how you find. No, you're not talking to people. No, you're not jumping up in the middle of a church service to shout in tongues over everybody. All right? Don't do that. Don't do that. You know, if you jump up in my service, you know, you're going to be told to sit down in a hurry. All right? That is, anyway, not our message right now. Praise the Lord. Things that are not obvious to your understanding. Praying out mysteries. Things you do not know about your life. Decisions you need an answer to. It provides truth for things in your life that are not specifically spelled out in the Word. What do you do when the Bible, you know, is there a scripture that tells you what company to invest in? Is there a scripture in the Bible that tells you who to marry? Does it tell you, you know, where to go to church? Does it tell you specific things to do in your life? No, the Bible is basic general instructions to everybody. But what about those things that are specific to your life? There are things that are specific to my life that I need answers for right now. And so what am I doing? I'm praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Why? They're mysteries. They're mysteries to me, not the Holy Ghost. So he'll help me pray those things out that need to be prayed for. It fills the gap between the Bible and the specific scenarios of your life. What do you do when you don't know specifically what decision to make? Pray in the Holy Ghost. I need to fill that void between the scripture that is general instructions. We do all that we know to do. But when life gets very specific, you better pray those things out. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Here's the fourth thing. Now go, you're in 1 Corinthians 14. We'll keep on reading. Verse 3. It says, "But he that prophesies speaketh unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort." All right. This is the difference between prophecy and praying or speaking in tongues. He that prophesies speaks to men. That means to speak inspired language in a known language. That's what we're doing here tonight. There's elements of prophecy in every sermon. Why? Because notice here, prophecy is not to tell the future. It's to edify. That means to build you up in the word. Exhortation means to exhort you to faithfulness. And comfort, well, you know what that means. Make you feels better. I'm here to help you feels better. All right? And that's what happens when you sit under the word. You get edified in the word. You become more faithful and you feel better. Glory to God. Notice prophecy in its simple definition does not tell the future. All right? But notice prophecy is what you do to speak to the gathered group of people. Notice I'm not giving out a message here in tongues. Now, if the Holy Ghost came on me as he wills to give out a tongue and interpret it, that would be different. Obviously, this chapter goes into that here shortly. But verse 4 is what I wanted to get to. He that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself, but he that prophesies edifies the church. See the difference between tongues and prophecy? Tongues is more for the private prayer life than it is for the gathered assembly. But notice there's two. When we're all together, we're here to be edified together as a group. We're not just here edifying the individual, all right? How many of you know you can go home and you can pray in the Spirit and that's where you edify yourself? And so this is the fourth benefit of speaking in tongues, to edify yourself. Amen. I wrote this down. This just kind of came up to me. What preaching does for the congregation, praying in tongues does for the individual. Because preaching inspired sermons that are not just pre-canned. I mean, you could get up here and read some, you know, pre-canned sermon that wouldn't necessarily make it prophecy. But if it's inspired, then it will edify the church. All right? And so as inspired preaching edifies us all together, when you are praying in tongues, you are edifying yourself, the individual. All right? The word edify there means to charge. To charge. To charge. Oh, my goodness. It means literally to charge like a battery. Yeah, I recently had a dead battery with a bad alternator. All right? And so I get in under there, and of course, most vehicles have their alternator right on top. You take it out, you put a new one in, you throw a new belt on it, you're done in a half hour. Except on this car, this alternator is down underneath the car. It's like buried under all these plastic panels and all this stuff, you know, and so it was a lot harder to get to. And I'm sitting there with my voltage meter, and this thing's running, but that battery is still dying, all right? Until you get a new alternator that will sit there and charge that thing up. That battery had gotten so low, it was down to like 10 or 11 volts. It couldn't run any headlights. It couldn't brighten anybody's day. Couldn't run a car, you know, all this stuff. All of a sudden, you get an alternator on that, and as that alternator was spinning, I'm sitting there with my voltage meter. Oh, we're up to 12. We're up to 12 and a half. Oh, we're up to 13 and a half. Oh, we're up to 14, 14 and a half, and that's about where you want it to be, all right? That alternator, that's what praying in tongues is. Just imagine when you're praying in the Spirit, that alternator is just turning, 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 and your charge is going higher and higher and higher. Amen. To the point where if somebody else is running low, you can give them a jump start in your life. How are you going to edify anybody if you yourself aren't edified? Amen. Praise the Lord. That's why I say, like preaching does for the congregation, as I preach, as the Lord directs, that edifies, that builds up this church. Okay? But when you're not here and you're at home, you can edify yourself. That's why I say what inspired preaching does for the congregation, speaking in tongues will do for the individual. Amen. Praying in the Spirit. Edify yourself. It charges, it builds up, it instills faith into your spirit. Amen. You will be at the most peace in your life when you're edified. Glory to God. You know, I noticed this in this car when that battery died and all that stuff. None of the accessories worked. Everything around it stopped working. You know, everything, the rear defrost doesn't work. Headlights don't work. Windshield wiper doesn't work. Wipers. You know, rear defrost, all that. The radio doesn't work. All this stuff stops working now because the main component of the electrical system, the battery, is uncharged. In the same way, there's a lot of things that are connected to your spirit. So many things in your life depend on you having an edified spirit. Your peace depends on it. All right? I could show you your health in your body depends on the health of your spirit. Proverbs 14:30. A sound heart or a sound spirit or a spirit at peace is the strength to the flesh. All right, what does it say over there? I think it's Proverbs 18:14. It says, a man will be sustained through sickness through the strength of his spirit. So many times, of course, it's not wrong to go to the doctor. It's not wrong to take medicine. But I'll tell you what, if you want sickness to move out of your life, build up your spirit. Build up your spirit because the Bible says that whatever is going on the inside starts to show up in other places in life. Oh, I could show you. Oh, man, we don't have all this time to go into all these directions. Your finances depend on it. Build up your spirit. Why? What does the Bible say over there in Proverbs 4:23? For out of your spirit flow all the issues of life. Can you bring that up? Proverbs 4:23. You know, of course, it uses the term heart in the King James Bible. That's fine. Keep or guard your heart with all diligence. Couldn't you also say it this way? Charge your spirit with all diligence. Amen. We could say that because we see that in the New Testament. For out of your born-again spirit are all the issues of life. Is money an issue of life? Is marriage an issue of life? Yeah. Jobs, children, everything you could name are an issue of life. You remember not too many weeks ago, I said we all have issues, all right? Because we all have issues in life. And I tell you what, every issue will be easier to handle when you are edified. That car I'm talking about, it died right in the Tim Hortons parking lot. Died. We had our coffee, though, keeping us warm, you know, and all this stuff. And, I mean, it just takes, when an alternator finally just goes, I mean, nothing will run. I mean, no headlights, no wipers, no defrost, no heater, no radio, no anything, all right? In the same way, you know, so we got a, you know, literally like 10 feet in front of the window, and it just died. And I knew that there was a little bit of an issue, so I had a jump pack with me. I had two jump packs with me, all right? I get out the first one, blink, nah, nothing. Get out the second jump pack, blink, boo. That car was so dead that not even the jump packs could jump start it because they weren't edified enough. They weren't edified enough. And all of a sudden, I'm sitting there, I'm like, oh, no, no, try the second one. Oh, no. I mean, it is blocking the drive-through and all this stuff. This guy pulls up in this big pickup truck. He's like, hey, you need a jump? I'm like, I need a jump right now. He hopped out. He just threw those jumper cables on. Boom, and we fired up and got out of there because someone else showed up who was edified. And then when he was edified, when those cables were on the car, the radio worked, The defrost worked, the heater worked, the wipers worked. You know, I'll tell you what, so many times Christians are looking around their lives and say, man, this isn't working. This isn't working. This isn't working. Well, edify and build up your spirit, because out of your spirit flow all the issues of life. And as you're praying in tongues, that alternator is just spinning, spinning, charging, building up, making sure that every avenue in your life has power when power is needed. Amen. Edify yourself. People that are edified will be less movable. They will be less shaken. Listen, when you're not edified, it'll show up in your life. It'll show up. You'll know when you aren't edified because something shakes you that shouldn't have shaken you. Something, you know, burdens you when it shouldn't have burdened you. Amen. All right. All right. And so number five, let's go on to number five. You're back here in 1 Corinthians 14. And we just read verse 4. He that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. All right. And so here's the fifth benefit. Praying in tongues is how you pray out of your born-again spirit. Can you bring up verse 14? You can look at it there in your Bible. 1 Corinthians 14, 14. Praise the Lord. When I preach this, sometimes I feel like I literally start tripping over my words because I want just to get this into people so much, you know? Amen. He says this, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays. Can you bring this up in the Amplified Bible? Let's see, let's try this again. Praise the Lord. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit by the Holy Spirit within me prays. What does the Holy Ghost praying out of your mouth sound like? Sounds like unknown tongues. Amen. Isn't that what Jesus said? Out of your spirit will flow rivers of living water. Amen. He says, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit by the Holy Spirit within me prays, but my mind is unproductive, it bears no fruit and helps nobody. Just remember that. Your mind will sit there and try to wander when you're praying in the spirit. Pay no mind, you know, don't give any bother to it. You just got to keep your mind in neutral, focus on your spirit the best that you can, pray in the Holy Ghost, and just know this, something good is happening where you don't understand. The Bible says it's an ultimate act of faith, isn't it? You know, I love Pastor Michael. Someone have a pen? Someone toss me a pen, Pastor Bradwell. Whoa, there we got it. All right, so we have a pen here. Pastor Michael has this illustration. Many of you have heard this illustration. I love it because it makes so much sense to me. I think of this illustration every time I go to pray in the Spirit. You know, praying in tongues sometimes, it isn't very spectacular. Some people, they wait to have some great feeling or euphoria before they will pray in tongues. But we don't pray in tongues based on a feeling. We pray based on faith. We believe that it's doing what the Bible says that it's doing, right? Well, you know, sometimes, you know, praying in tongues, it's not understandable. Sometimes it seems mundane or it seems not spectacular. A lot like sitting here and tapping a pen on a desk or a table. You know, if I did this and we had to sit here, let's do this for a half hour. Well, let's do this for an hour. You'd say, Pastor, I don't want to have anything to do with that. I just don't get why we'd have to do that. That makes no sense. All right. And of course, I would agree with you, just naturally seeming, this would seem pretty worthless, right? But if someone came to you and said, okay, but new rules. Now every time you tap the pen on the pulpit, we're going to give you a dollar. Every time it's going to produce a result. Oh, yeah, now you'd be like, you'd be like, if you, why you would do that, you'd be like, right? You would go and go and go. You wouldn't just say, well, how long do I have to do this? You just would know the longer I do this, the more the alternator's spinning, the more the charging is happening. Amen. You would just be happy to do this all day long. Even though naturally your flesh doesn't get it. Naturally, but if someone was serious about paying you a reward like that for doing something that seems so not spectacular, you'd be happy to do it. I think about that every time, you know, when I pray in the Holy Ghost. Pastor Brad, heads up. Let's see if he can catch it. Oh, yeah. All right. Yeah, praise the Lord. Woo-hoo-hoo. Man, we got some talented pastors around here. We can play catch with a pen. You know, But if you knew and understood, listen, by faith, we can see the scripture. God told me, this edifies me. This is building up my most holy faith. This is rivers of living water. This is a promise of the Father. This is power from on high. This will make me a better witness. Amen. This is bringing rest and refreshing. So you'd keep going. You'd keep going. You know, because sometimes it does. Praying in the Spirit sometimes feels like you're just tapping a pen. Like, man, is this really working? Is this really doing anything? It just seems kind of mundane sometimes. But see, if you knew the reward was coming, it wouldn't be like, well, you wouldn't be saying, you know, oh, do I have to do this for a half hour? Do I have to do this for an hour? Do I have to do this? If you were getting paid for a dollar for every pen tap, you would be like, can I pray? Can I go for 2 hours? Can we add more to this? So the reason why we don't pray in the Spirit is because we don't believe it's doing what the Bible says it's doing. It's an exercise of faith to believe what it says it's doing. Amen. So it's how you pray out of your spirit. This is the only way your spirit, by the Holy Spirit, can pray. Everything else that you pray in your natural language is just with your mind. And that can work too, but it will never. Let me just ask you a question. Do not raise your hand. All right, before, let's warn you ahead of time. But do you think that you could pray as well as the Holy Ghost? Can you, with your natural mind, do you think you could pray as effectively as he can? We wouldn't think that. He is a million times better at praying than we are. He knows more than we do. That's what it's about, praying out those hidden things that your mind will never understand or get to. Amen. Number 6, here we go. This is how you pray out the perfect will of God. And I'm just going to give you scriptures for the sake of time. You can look at it. It's Romans 8, 26 and 27. It says, when you pray in the Holy Ghost, the Spirit helps our infirmities. We know not what we should pray for as we ought. Right? It says, we pray for the saints according to the perfect will of God. What happens when you pray God's perfect will? You hit the mark every time. See, that's a weakness that people have. They don't know how to pray as they ought to, but when you pray in tongues, it always hits the mark. Amen. This is why people get mixed results when they only pray with their understanding. Their mind is limited, so their results are limited. Just never forget that. If you pray with just your limited knowledge, your results will be limited. But when you pray with the unlimited resources of the Holy Ghost, your results can be unlimited. Amen. Praise the Lord. Here's the 7th benefit here of praying in tongues. It's the will of Jesus. It's the will of Jesus. Say, Pastor, the will of Jesus, really? Really? Yep. Over there, what is it? Mark chapter 16, verse 17. He said, and these signs shall, Jesus speaking, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out demons. In my name they shall speak with new tongues. Amen. He wouldn't tell us that if it wasn't his will. Now, do you have to speak in tongues to get saved? No, let's say that again. Do you have to speak in tongues to be saved? Do you have to cast out a demon to be saved? Do you have to lay hands on the sick to be saved? No, but it's available to you. Might as well take advantage of the power. It's the power of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Number 8, praying in tongues will make you more willing to win souls. John the Baptist said that Jesus would baptize us with the Holy Ghost and with fire. I'll tell you what, God's people need a little more fire, a little more boldness, a little more willingness to tell people about Jesus. Jesus said over there in Acts 1:8, I quoted it earlier, he said, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. It makes you a witness, or makes you evidence of God's power on this earth. Praise the Lord. You know, I'll tell you what, there's not too many Christians that are willing to be soul winners today. But when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you can't help but think what the Holy Ghost thinks of. He's thinking about the lost. He's thinking about the unsaved. He's thinking about having mercy upon them. He's thinking about the heathen coming to the Lord and getting born again. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. And so, I mean, that's a good place to stop right there. But there's at least 8 benefits of praying in tongues straight from the scriptures. It is the refreshing. It's the rest. It edifies. It charges you. It makes you more willing to witness. Amen. It prays out hidden truth. Praying out of the Holy Ghost, out of your spirit, like Jesus said, would flow rivers of living water. Listen, I'm telling you, if this is something that you have received, but you've allowed it to go dormant, stir yourself up again. And just remember the pen tapping. When you go to pray, your mind is going to rage against it. Your mind is going to tell you how unfruitful it is, or, you know, how boring, or is going to want to think about everything else in the world. But just remember, it's an exercise of faith, not an exercise of feeling. If we only do what we feel like doing, we're not going to get very good results. And if your prayer life is just a matter of, you know, speaking to God in English for 5 minutes here and there, I'm telling you, your results are going to be very limited. Very, very limited. You know, why don't we go ahead and do this, just so we, you know, make sure. If you're here tonight, as I look around, I believe I know just about every single person, or I've met, I would dare say, 98% of everyone. We're going to give an opportunity. If you're here and you've never received this experience of being baptized in the Holy Ghost with speaking in other tongues, we'll give you that opportunity here tonight, just in case, you know, there's somebody that you haven't been here and you really want to receive it. Now remember, it's not something you try. It's not something you say, well, I'll see if this works. No, Jesus says, if any man thirst, let him come unto me. You have to be thirsty for God if it's going to, you know, fill you. Amen. And if you're here and you want to receive that experience, we'll give you that opportunity here in a moment. Or if you have received that experience and you've allowed it to go dormant and you just want to stir it up, well, then I'll invite you to the front too. I'd be happy to pray with you, lay hands on you as well. But before we do that, you know, people have asked, what are the qualifications for being filled with the Holy Ghost? There's only one. What is the qualification for being filled with the Holy Ghost? Got to be saved. You have to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So let's do this. Let's close our eyes. Let's bow our heads. Let's give everyone an opportunity to be saved in case there's somebody here that, you know, would be honest and say, not, I've never made Jesus the Lord of my life. Well, that's the most important thing. First and foremost, there is no greater gift than salvation through Jesus. And if you're here tonight and you say, Pastor, I don't even know if I am saved. I don't know if I have made Jesus my Lord and Savior. Well, the Bible says in Romans 10:9 that if you confess or speak with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Salvation is a matter of simply inviting Christ into your heart, believing on him as your Lord and Savior, asking him to come in, and the Bible says that he will grant you eternal life. You don't have to jump through hoops. You don't have to take a class or something like that. You have to believe and confess Jesus as Lord. And if you're here tonight and you've never done that, I'm simply going to ask you to lift your hand. Eyes are closed, heads are bowed. No one's looking around. I'm not going to make you stand up. I'm not going to make you come down front for this. But if you'd say, Pastor, that's me. I need Jesus in my life. I want to be saved from my sin. I want to have eternal life. I want to be washed and cleansed so that I can go to heaven. I can know my Heavenly Father. If that's you, could you lift your hand now, please? I see that hand. Thank you. You can put it down. God loves you. Is there anybody else here before we pray? God loves you. He's not mad at you. He gave Jesus to save you. And what does that mean? It means that Jesus came to this earth 2,000 years ago. He was hung on a cross. He was brutalized because he was being punished for the sins that we committed. We were the criminals. He was innocent, but he became the criminal so he could give us his innocence. And so, praise the Lord, we did have a hand. Is there anybody else here before we pray? Just want to make sure. Well, we're all going to pray this prayer. And if you lifted your hand, speak these words out of your mouth. Don't just think them in your mind. Just mean them with your heart, and God will hear you. Just pray this with me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord Jesus, wash me, cleanse me, forgive me of my sins. Be my Lord and Savior all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, Amen and amen. Now we can go ahead and open our eyes. And if you're here and you've never been baptized with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, that opportunity is open to you now. I know we've had several invitations, you know, recently, but I just want to make sure as this series of messages is coming to a close that we just keep offering that opportunity. Or, again, if you have received this experience, but you've allowed it to go dormant and you just want a little jump start in your life with that, well, we want to open the altar up to you as well. Is there anybody that would like to come forward? Eyes are open. You know, be bold. You know, God loves you. He's not mad at you. Glory to God. I know we have, you know, most folks here. But we just want to make sure. Just want to make sure. Say, well, Pastor, how do I receive it? First, just be thirsty for it. You know, just be thirsty. If you'll come to God hungry and thirsty, if you say, I just want more of God, no matter what it takes, no matter what it sounds like, no matter what it is, God will meet you. He will never let you go away empty-handed. Amen. Let's go ahead. Let's stand to our feet. Let's just praise and worship the Lord. You say, well, Pastor, does that mean now that when I come to church here, all I'm going to hear is people speaking in tongues? Notice, and of course we didn't get to go all through chapter 14, notice the scripture makes it very clear that tongues is less of a public display than inspired preaching and teaching of the Word of God. Now, is there a public use of tongues? Yes. That is what the Bible calls a manifestation of the Spirit called tongues and interpretation. All right? If a tongue is given out publicly, it is supposed to be interpreted. Now, the exception to that is if there's people that come forward and they receive the Holy Ghost for the first time and they speak in other tongues the first time, that's not required to be interpreted. You understand? But why don't we just go ahead and give Him praise here tonight? And listen, the number one thing, the greatest thing that can ever happen in any service is that someone gets born again. Never forget it. So let's rejoice in that. And Father God, we just glorify You. Father, we give You all the praise tonight. Father, You are faithful. You are good. We worship You. We bless You. Father, You are holy. And Father, I command Your hand of blessing upon each one that's here tonight. Father, we will be doers of the Word. Lord, we have seen so many messages now, week after week, that, Lord, we see the benefits of praying in the Spirit. Father, this is a year for growing closer to You. And Lord, we understand that being closer to You means being filled with Your Spirit, praying by the help of the Holy Ghost, so that Your will be done in our lives, in this church, on this earth, in this community. Father, we just give You all the praise. We give You all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. You are, See, you can tell, people have said this is a money-minded church. No, this is an offering-minded church, because about every Wednesday, I about close service without taking up the offering. And people are all standing there like, hey, that's right. You know, we should never walk away from God's house without being a giver. Amen. Let's go ahead and pray as we give here tonight, then we'll be dismissed. Father God, we love You. We praise You. Father, we thank You for this opportunity to sow into the house of God. Father, as we sow good seed into good ground, harvest is imminent. Father, we love You. We praise You. Father, we thank You for Your goodness. Father, we thank You this seed produces fruit for the kingdom of God, for our lives. And Father, we just say You are faithful to always provide more than enough. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brothers, you may serve the people. Glory to God. I'm so grateful that we have faithful, you know, givers here that remind me to take up the offering. I mean, that's the way you want it. I mean, it's wonderful.